This is the University Spotlight on Beyond the Headlines. I'm KUNR General Manager David Stipik. Today we bring you a fish story, a big fish story, a story of monster fish to be precise. And if you've watched National Geographic television over the years or visited Reno's Discovery Museum in the past few weeks, you'll already likely know a bit about our topic today. Joining me in the studio today is University of Nevada, Reno President Mark Johnson. Welcome, Mark.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
And your guest today, Zeb Hogan, Assistant Research Professor in the Department of Biology. Zeb, welcome to KUNR.
Thank you.
Zeb, monster fish have been your focus and your passion. Some of it would say your obsession for the past two decades. We're going to ask you to share this story with our listeners in just a moment. But first, Mark, let me turn to you to help set the stage for today's conversation.
Well, thank you very much. We are very pleased to have Dr. Zeb Hogan on the faculty at the University of Nevada, Reno. The University of Nevada, Reno is becoming a high-impact research university. We do a broad range of research that affects everyone, including unmanned autonomous car and drone research, earthquake engineering that will help keep our bridges and buildings safer in earthquakes, medical research to have better diagnostics and cures for diseases, water research to keep Tahoe blue and to have water-conserving crops that can use this dry environment for economic activity, and humanities research to help us understand our cultural heritage, like in archaeology, working last summer with the Indian School down in the Carson area. So we do a broad range of research, but today we have the opportunity with Dr. Zeb Hogan to talk about some of the environmental research that's going on at the university and specifically with the monster fish.
With that as a backdrop, how this fits into the bigger picture, Zeb, let me just ask you, let our listeners know a little bit about your background and how you got started with the interest in what we're calling monster fish.
Well, so I've been studying the world's largest freshwater fish for almost 20 years now. We're talking about freshwater fish that get over 6 feet long, weigh more than 200 pounds. Some can grow over 20 feet long. So these are very, very large fish that live in freshwater. Believe it or not, I actually grew up in Arizona. So people ask me, you know, why do you study freshwater fish? You live in the desert. I grew up in the desert. I still live in the desert. But of course, here in the desert, water is scarce. Water is very important. I grew up with a love of water. I always wanted to be around water, and I ended up studying the world's largest freshwater fish.
It's a surprise to some people to find out that in freshwater, that some of these creatures are growing so big, some of these fish. How did you get hooked on, I'm sorry.
Keep that going.
For lack of a better word, how did you get hooked on monster fish, especially being from Arizona? What captured your interest?
Yeah, so I went to school at the University of Arizona, and I was fortunate enough to be involved with a program called the Undergraduate Biology Research Program, which provided opportunities for undergraduate students to do research with University of Arizona faculty members. And my summer job was doing fish surveys on the Colorado River. And this was in the early 90s at the time. The Colorado River, it's a heavily dammed river. The native fish that live in the Colorado in the bottom of the Grand Canyon aren't doing very well. And I was part of a team that was studying the impacts of these large dams on the Colorado. When I finished my undergraduate work, I took that knowledge that I learned as an undergrad and took that with a Fulbright scholarship to Thailand and looked at some of the same issues, the impact of proposed dams on migratory fish in Southeast Asia. Now, as it turns out, I didn't know this at the time, but as it turns out, the Mekong River is home to more species of these giant freshwater fish than any river in the world. And as I continued my work, I spent a year in Thailand as a Fulbright scholar, and then I went on to UC Davis, University of California, Davis, to do my PhD and continued to focus on Mekong fish and got gradually more and more interested in these giant fish as I realized that nobody was doing this kind of work.
Mark, you've been working with Zeb, and I know you're proud of the efforts there. Talk about the significance of Zeb's work to our community and the university, how that fits into what you've already described, the bigger research picture.
Certainly. When a scientist does some work, Zeb already mentioned, he works on a team. And the teams involve undergraduate students, graduate students, other faculty members. And most all of our research has a direct impact on people. And in Zeb's case, he has a very interesting topic that attracts the interests of people in this community of all ages. Dr. Hogan, or Zeb, I'd like to hear the environmental sustainability context of the science that you're doing with these large fish.
Yeah, I first got interested in these large fish. I was in Thailand. I went up to northern Thailand. A lot of people have heard of the Golden Triangle area in northern Thailand. I went up there with a friend, and I had a chance to see fishermen catch a very rare fish called a Mekong giant catfish. And it's actually considered the world's largest freshwater fish. Fishermen up there caught a 650-pound catfish in 2005. But as I learned more about the Mekong giant catfish, I realized not only was nobody doing any work on it, but also that the Mekong giant catfish, it's a large-bodied, vulnerable migratory species, and it really is symbolic of the health and ecological integrity of the river. That holds true for a lot of these big fish. The large fish, they need a lot of space. A lot of them are migratory. They need healthy, free-flowing rivers. They can be vulnerable to pressures from humans like overfishing, climate change, pollution. And so as it turns out, these large fish are really excellent indicators of overall river health. And so as I study and learn about the large fish, I'm also learning about the health of the river.
Super. So these are indicator species of the health of the river. That's very interesting.
This is the University Spotlight on KUNR's Beyond the Headlines. I'm David Stipik. We're talking about what are called monster fish with University of Nevada, Reno Assistant Research Professor in Biology, Zeb Hogan, who is the guest today in our studios of University of Nevada, Reno President Mark Johnson.
Almost all the research that we do impacts people. But in particular, when you have something large and when you have something like big fish, it really attracts the attention of the public of all ages. Please tell us about your experience hooking up with National Geographic for science education.
Yeah, there's something, I didn't intend this when I started this work, but there is something about giant fish that seems to captivate the attention of most people. And so when I first started the work, I applied to the National Geographic Society, it's a nonprofit organization, for a research grant. And I received my first research grant from National Geographic, I think in 2002 or 2003, just before I came to UNR. And as part of receiving a research grant with National Geographic, researchers, biologists, adventurers, explorers also have the opportunity to get involved with their media divisions. And so some of the television, the magazine, their online news division, they saw the photos and data that I was sending back about these big fish, and they thought, hey, maybe this is something that might be interesting to a broader audience. And so we started doing a television program on Nat Geo Wild called Monster Fish. We did an award-winning online news series all about the ecology and conservation of these big fish. And just recently, we finished, it was about 2 years in the making, a large-scale museum exhibition called Monster Fish in Search of the Last River Giants, which focuses video, text, illustrations, life-size sculptures, all focus on the ecology and conservation of giant freshwater fish.
And you had the opportunity to introduce this exhibition in the National Geographic headquarters in Washington.
Yeah, this was an exciting project. It opened in Washington, D.C. on March 26, 2015. And then maybe even more exciting than the opening in Washington, D.C., we just recently were able to bring, through a partnership between UNR, National Geographic, and the Nevada Discovery Museum, we were just recently able to bring this exhibit to Reno. And it's downtown at the Nevada Discovery Museum. And it's something that, personally, it's very gratifying to me. I spend a lot of time doing work internationally, and it's important to me to be able to bring that research and that knowledge and that excitement and passion back to people here in our community. And this exhibit has allowed me to do that.
This is the University Spotlight on KUNR's Beyond the Headlines. I'm David Stipik. We're talking with the University of Nevada, Reno President Mark Johnson, along with Zeb Hogan, monster fish expert from the Department of Biology, whose National Geographic exhibit is now showing at the Terry Lee Wells Discovery Museum. It's called Monster Fish, In Search of the Last River Giants. Take the kids, grandkids, or just enjoy it on your own.
One thing that was really fascinating about this exhibit is that it has impact in the community beyond just the museum building. You might mention K-12 impact.
We want to make sure that the exhibit has as broad of impact as possible. And so I've been working with the faculty in the College of Science. I've been working with Dave Crowther in the College of Education to have a broader impact in our local K-12 schools. We've done a 50-page guide for teachers and for students who have a chance to go visit the exhibition. They can download the guide. It's freely available on UNR website. Download this guide, read the guide, learn about these fish before they go to the exhibit, visit the exhibit, and then there are lessons in the guide for teachers and students after they visit the exhibit. We're also working, for example, with the American Fishery Society. They're going to be having a conference here in March. We've invited them to the museum to have an event at the exhibit. So we keep looking for opportunities. We're also opening a new permanent exhibit at the Nevada Discovery Museum. This is done in collaboration with faculty here at UNR on Nevada's native fish. So this is an exhibit that we're still working on. We're hoping to open in January, and that's going to focus on the fish we have right here in Nevada.
So the impact on the community just continues to ripple out with the kernel of this project.
And Mark, let me ask you about that, because you spoke at the opening of the exhibit a few weeks back at the Discovery Museum. What's the feedback been for you here at the university and within the community that you've received?
People in the community have said many, many times, we're so pleased to see the university in the community working with the Discovery Museum. And that's really what the university is all about right now, is impacting the entire community. And I had particular comments from Matt Sinclair, who runs the Discovery Museum. He's fairly new in town. And he said, I wanted to bring a traveling exhibit to the Discovery Museum, and what do you know? My first exhibit is led by National Geographic, which is a primo product. And secondly, it's run by one of our own faculty at the University of Nevada, Reno, right here in Reno. Great community feedback.
Talk about that, Zeb, for just a moment, the things that people would experience at the exhibit.
The exhibit is based on over 10 years of work, 50 expeditions to 6 continents, and it involved hundreds of scientists and fishermen and government officials from all over the world. So I want to emphasize that this was a collaborative project, and it couldn't have happened without scientists, with people from National Geographic, faculty from UNR, people from the Discovery Museum. When people go visit the exhibit, it's about 6,000 square feet, so it's fairly large, and there are videos from the Monster Fish television series that show the different fish out there in the field. There are beautiful illustrations. There are life-size sculptures of these fish, up to 20 feet long, that were done by an artist in the Midwest. So they actually look like pieces of art, and they were designed meticulously to look exactly as these fish do in the wild. There also, if you go downstairs in the Discovery, there's a whole room that's filled with interactive, I'll call them games, but really it's teaching people how we do science out in the field. So, for example, there's a game where you can measure a fish, weigh a fish, tag a fish, and then learn why we take those measurements. There is a game where you can learn about endangered species issues. There's a game where you can learn about water issues and how to conserve water. So we try to combine something fun with something educational.
Now, there's one piece of that my wife and I and several others were on when we had the opening that night. That we were trying to get enough people to match the weight of the larger fish, and we couldn't do it. And we had like six or eight people on that. So is that doable? I mean, can you get enough people to?
Yeah, we tried to have fun with the exhibit, and that's one of the more fun components. I just watch people, strangers, all piling together. It's basically a scale, and you try, if you can get enough people on the scale, you can get this group of people to weigh as much as the world's largest fish. And so I've seen everyone try to pile on. I have seen enough people be able to get on that scale to weigh as much as, I believe it's a stingray is probably the largest fish.
It was a big number up there, and we were amazed that which leads me back to the point. You mentioned something, 600-pound catfish. Did you say that a few minutes ago?
Yeah, so the current, as far as we know, the current record holder is a 646-pound catfish that was caught in northern Thailand in 2005. And there's actually an interesting story behind that catch, because I had been working in Thailand already for my PhD. And when fishermen caught that fish, I went back and looked at my records just out of curiosity. And I thought, is this the biggest fish that they've caught? And I noticed that it was. And then I just asked another simple question. Well, is there a chance that this is the biggest freshwater fish in the world? Very simple question. Anybody could ask that question. And yet, that simple question has guided a lot of my work for the last 10 years. So I think there's a lesson there in the sense that there are still a lot of questions out there that we don't know the answer to, even simple questions. And so, you know, kids who are in school or anybody really, you can start a huge, important new project with just what seems like a very simple question. You know, believe it or not, some of these fish, for example, there's a large species of freshwater stingray that lives in northern Australia, in a beautiful part of northern Australia, that was only described in 2008. So that's a fish that might get up to, who knows, 1,000 pounds. We still don't know. So there are still some of these giant fish, believe it or not, these huge fish out there that may yet to be discovered.
I've watched a few of your videos, and looks like there's a few crazy moments when you're trying to work with some of these large fish. Have you had a few scary, freaky moments? And have you rethought maybe some of this work that you do?
You know, I haven't. When people see these fish for the first time, I guess they do look scary. But when you work with them day to day, you realize that they actually aren't that scary. They're not very dangerous. We actually spend more time trying to make sure we don't hurt the fish than we don't hurt ourselves.
Do they surprise you, though, the way they react?
Yeah, every fish is different. And obviously, it's a learning process. And so, for example, stingray are very curious. And so they're one of the only fish that will actually, in the wild, will swim up and kind of check you out. With stingray, you don't want to step on one because then you might get stung by the barb that's at the base of its tail. Electric eel, believe it or not, are the same way. They'll come up. They're very curious. If you threaten an electric eel, if you touch it, if you try to grab it, you'll get a nasty shock. And I think that's probably a lesson. It's probably true with most animals. Most animals are harmless. Very few animals have any intention of hurting anyone. If an animal feels threatened and it has a way to let you know it's feeling threatened, it probably will.
So Zeb, KUNR will provide on our website at KUNR.org a link to all of the resources from the university and your resources, including your Fishpedia. And that has pictures and information about monster fish like arapaima and goonch and many others that are hard to pronounce and kind of interesting to look at. Go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit more about what Zeb's Fishpedia is.
Well, so you're making reference to a website, my UNR College of Science website.
Right.
And so people can go, if you Google Zeb Hogan Science, Zeb Hogan College of Science, UNR, people find themselves on this webpage, and there's information about all the different large fish species. We've included videos. We have the educator's guide that's freely available for download on the site. So I encourage people, if they want to learn more about these fish, go to the site and check it out.
Mark, in the studio, you and I can see the passion in Zeb's face and his eyes lighting up as he talks about his work with these monster fish. But the university has hundreds of other researchers who bring their passion to their work as well.
Yes, we do have several hundred faculty on the campus who are doing research in a vast array of areas across the arts, the humanities, social sciences, natural sciences, and engineering. They're equally as passionate. Zeb gives a real example of how the missions of a land-grant university blend together so well, because Zeb has an impact on students, he's doing research and gaining new knowledge, and he's interacting with the community and taking this knowledge that he's gained through research into the community in many, many different ways through formal publications and educational materials and exhibits at the Discovery Museum.
Another thing to add is that with this new partnership between UNR, the College of Science, and the Nevada Discovery Museum, the hope is that this monster fish traveling exhibit is just going to be the start of a longer-term relationship between these institutions.
And through all this, what have you learned about yourself?
That's a good question. One thing I've discovered traveling, you know, I think anyone who's traveled, you learn that people around the world aren't as different maybe as sometimes we make them out to be. And people always ask, well, how do you get the cooperation of the fishermen, or how do you get around or survive in all of these crazy places? And when you start traveling, you realize that a lot of these places aren't as crazy as people might think. People are the same all over the world.
Well, keep up the good work. This has been the University Spotlight on Beyond the Headlines. I'm KUNR General Manager David Stipik. I've been visiting with University of Nevada, Reno President Mark Johnson, and his guest today in the studio is Zeb Hogan, Assistant Research Professor with the Department of Biology and host of the National Geographic Wild show, Monster Fish, who has worked with the College of Science to bring National Geographic's Monster Fish exhibit from Washington, D.C. to our hometown here in Reno as the first stop in its five-year national tour. The exhibit shows through April 24th at the Terry Lee Wells Discovery Museum in Reno, and it's definitely worth checking out with or without the kids. We'll have more information and links on our website at KUNR.org. Zeb, great to visit with you today, and congratulations on the exhibit and all your efforts over the years of research in this area.
Thank you.
And University President Mark Johnson, thanks again for bringing Zeb to our studios and sharing in the conversation. Good to have you with us once again.
Thank you.
And this is KUNR.